African Dialogue, looking at different events in depth, discussing a variety of issues.
What we see here is a clear violation of, one, the rights to privacy of Tiwonge and Stephen.
The position of Greenpeace is that it's been a disappointing meeting.
Thank you for joining us right here on Channel Africa. You're listening to us on DSTV Channel 802 on the audio bouquet. And if you are streaming us on our website, thank you for joining us on www.channelafrica.co.za. Well, the decision by South African government to close 20 land border posts sparked debate among different sectors of society. Border posts affected, including one with neighboring Zimbabwe, Bait Bridge. This means many Zimbabweans who depend on coming to South Africa for economic activity will have to wait a little longer. This is until government reviews the decision announced by President Cyril Ramaphosa on Monday night. Well, this is a report by Abongile Dumako, who kind of sets a tone for this discussion, just to unpack this particular regulation.
On Monday evening, President Cyril Ramaphosa, during his address to the nation, announced that 20 of the country's border posts will be closed to help stop the spread of the coronavirus. But the closure of Bait Bridge border post has sparked debate. Over the past weekend, ZANU-PF spokesperson Tafadzwa Mungwadi threatened to leak a bombshell about the motivation behind the ANC's visit to Zimbabwe during South Africa's hard lockdown. And ANC President Cyril Ramaphosa said the ANC delegation met with the organization's ally, hoping that Mungwadi would be willing to expand on his assertion.
ZANU-PF is a sister party to us. We have deep and strong links with ZANU-PF, and it was one to express concern, also to find out what's happening, to see the extent to which we can either be supportive and also fully understand precisely what is happening. So as far as we are concerned, there's nothing amiss. There's nothing that we could say we have to hide in as far as having sent that delegation.
And ANC National Chairperson Gwede Mantashe says the ANC's relationship with ZANU-PF has been characterized by threats and blackmail. Political analyst Professor Mcebisi Ndlejana says South Africa has been hamstruck while accepting Zimbabwean government's unfair relations.
So South Africa is now forced to accept impropriety, legality, and ethical leadership.
Two or three different audios in the background.
Because it is nursing the support of SADC and the OAU. So it's hamstrung to some degree. The only solution really is that if you increasingly have in some of our neighboring countries, governments that truly care for the well-being of their own people.
Home Affairs Minister Dr. Aaron Motsoaledi says some foreign nationals who feel as if their case needs special attention to enter the country, they must apply directly to his office.
If people don't fall in any of the categories I've mentioned, but they believe their case is worth considering, they will then apply to the Minister of Home Affairs for exemption, but they must give a copy of the passport, a copy of temporary residence visa, a demonstration of exceptional circumstances for requesting to enter the republic, a number of days of the intended stay, and proof of accommodation or place of residence when they are inside the country.
For now, the South African government says it will continue to do all in its power to make sure the spread of COVID-19 is controlled at all costs. I am Abongile Dumako in Johannesburg.
Well, that is the story that we'll be focusing on today. We were looking at this particular issue some time back, and it seems like it has created a lot of conversation around the reasoning behind South Africa's government to close 20 land borders. And these include some of the busiest ports for South Africa, Bait Bridge, Maseru Bridge, Vicksburg and Kopfontein and Oeschuk. And let's see if we can get our guests to assist us on this particular issue. We're joined by Wayne Ncube, who is from the Lawyers for Human Rights. And also we have Vukushin Musiane, who is the CEO of Musiane Group. Let me see if they can hear me clearly, because I heard Wayne on the other side kind of saying that he's struggling with the lines. Wayne, can you hear me that side?
Yes, no, the audio is much better now.
Okay, let me see if Gershon is on the line and if he can hear us clearly. Gershon, are you there?
I am here.
No interruptions on your side?
No interruptions, no.
All right, fantastic. Let's start with you, Wayne. I mean, do we understand the rationale around this particular decision to close the borders, especially the fact that we have been envisaging the holiday season and the fact that our borders do tend to get busy at that particular time?
Yeah, so the rationale is a bit difficult. Look, we understand the need to deal with the pandemic and to deal with areas where there might be high likelihood of transmission. And even before COVID, I think there's a need to reassess how the land borders work and ensure that there's a bit more efficiency in their operations. I think there are going to be a lot of unintended consequences with completely shutting down these borders, because local migration in any country is so intrinsic to how those countries operate. It is unlikely that simply closing these borders will lead to the results that they want. It's more likely to end up leading to more congestion with people stuck either side of the border, more transmission of the disease, and also might end up creating a situation where there's more irregular migration. So whilst the goal is admirable, there is a need to curb down the virus. There is a need to ensure that congestions and gatherings don't happen. I'm not sure that the decision will lead to the intended goal, and it might lead to a lot of humanitarian crises.
Gershon, let me come to you. As a self-proclaimed immigration buffoon of note, I'm reading this on your site earlier on, and I was chuckling to myself. I kind of like that term you've given yourself. But how did you kind of see this particular rationale, especially the fact that it was attributed to COVID-19?
Good morning to you and your listeners, and good morning to Wayne. I tend to disagree with Wayne in saying that it's very difficult to understand the rationale. The borders are not totally closed. You will recall that our government had said they're going to adopt a risk-adjusted approach. Our neighboring countries have closed their borders. What government has done is that they have partially closed the land borders, and they've, in terms of Regulation 42, subsection 2, they've made a concession for South African nationals to come in, for permanent residence holders to come in, for persons holding long-term visas, long-term residence visas, spouses, children, persons with work visas, and holders of business visas. So what has been closed is for those that are coming for the first time in South Africa, or those that don't have visas, that still have to be issued with new visas. But if you do a balancing act as to what is intended, is to make sure that we limit numbers so that we can flatten the curve and control the virus. So you need to understand that we're dealing with a pandemic. So you cannot now just not take action. And the action taken has concessions also. In exception of closing of borders, all people with visas that are expiring whilst they're in the Republic during this time have been extended until the 31st of March 2021.
Okay,
the fact that the borders are closed does not justify people resorting to illegal, irregular migration. People need to respect the laws of the Republic of South Africa. At this point in time, as humanity, we need to stick together and act together and respect the laws of each and every country.
Wayne, what are your thoughts on the position that Gershon is putting across there? It sounds very palatable.
Well, so, I mean, what he says isn't really that different from what I was saying there.
Okay, I'm losing you there. Your line is a bit low. I'm not quite sure if you've put us on speaker, Wayne. I was hearing you earlier on.
Hi, so. Can you hear me?
Yeah, I can hear you, but you're still pretty low right now.
Well,
that's better. Okay, I can hear you now. Yeah, that's better.
Yes. No. So what I was saying is the rationale is not the issue. There is a need to address situations where there might be high transmissions. There is definitely it is good that the borders are not completely closed and that there are certain categories that are still able to move, including the movement of goods, which is one of the things that were not mentioned, which ensures that this won't have a detrimental effect to the economy. The only issue I raise is the humanitarian crisis that this will create and whether or not it will have the intended consequence. So the rationale is not in dispute. We need in all areas in the world ensure that we don't have too many people congregating in the same place, too many people transmitting the disease. I'm just not sure that this particular action A will lead to the intended consequence and in fact won't have the opposite reaction of creating people who are, as we've seen with the images at the start of the month, so many people who are stuck at the border, huddled up together, stuck in long queues and that kind of backlog, which will create more virus transmission. And then there's also just the general point of particularly the fact that land borders have been targeted, and we understand the rationale because of that congestion. Just it adds to the othering and the almost scapegoating of foreign nationals for this transmission, and particularly with a virus like this, which we know mainly came into the country through more through Europe, overseas through air travel, to then have measures which seem to target and punish the local land travel in surrounding countries. It's just another theme, which is just a theme around the world where there's an anti-migrant sentiment, which obviously we've seen flare up. So the rationale is not bad. There's a need for the government to address it. We're just not sure whether or not this is the best way to go about it and whether or not the results of this would not be, in fact, creating an even worse second wave, whether it's in South Africa or in the neighboring countries.
Well, interesting differing views there coming from Gershon Musiani, CEO of Musiani Group, and Wayne Ncube here with us. He's from the Lawyers for Human Rights. I'd like to pick Gershon's brain, especially on the issue that was highlighted by Wayne, whereby we are seeing the fact that these borders have been closed. However, international flights have not been restricted or limited. So technically, our borders are open, but there are certain neighboring countries that have been targeted in this particular closure. I'd like his thoughts around that after this break.
Bringing you your latest news on the novel coronavirus disease COVID-19. For Channel Africa, I'm Simon Muchemwa in Harare, Zimbabwe. Make sure you and people around you follow good respiratory hygiene. This means covering your mouth and nose with your bent elbow and tissue when you cough and sneeze. Then dispose the used tissue immediately.
You are listening to Channel Africa, South Africa's external service into sub-Saharan Africa. Remember, we broadcast in multiple African languages, from French to Portuguese, Chinyanja, Shilozi. So do stay here on our station for more programming during the day in those languages. But this is our English program, where we really digest and unpack some of the big subject matters on the continent. You with me, Benjamin Mushatama, right here on African Dialogue. And today we're digesting the issue of South Africa closing 20 land border posts. And this has sparked debate amongst different sectors of society. We have the privilege of speaking to Gershon Musiane, CEO of Musiane Group, and Wayne Ncube from Lawyers for Human Rights. Gershon, I have to also question your rationale as well in terms of how you are actually certifying the actions of the South African government, because there are contradictions here. Hey, let's target some of these particular border posts that we have for a very long time. When you look at Beitbridge border, we've had a lot of mismanagement issues for multiple years in this particular border, and it seems like now we're using COVID-19 to cop out of it. My thing is, could this not just be an issue of mismanagement of these borders and the fact that we haven't actually got to grips of how to deal with our borders in South Africa?
My comment is as follows. I think the Department of Home Affairs and the Portfolio Committee on Home Affairs has visited Beitbridge border, and they've highlighted that the need for a one-stop border post whereby the South African government and neighboring countries would work in hand in hand to make sure that the process of crossing in between in terms of clearing of goods and travelers is smooth. The government has acknowledged that. But unfortunately, at this point in time, we are dealing with a pandemic. And the closure of our borders is also informed by the fact that our neighboring countries have closed their borders also. So it's a reaction to a situation that we're facing now. Mm. But in the long term, there are plans to make sure that what has been happening changes. So it's a short-term action to close, partially for certain people, with the mid and the long-term plan to make sure that situations that we saw in the festive season do not happen again. And the Minister of Home Affairs has on numerous occasions explained why there was congestion and explained that it is not only about humans, it's about trucks, it's about a lot of factors. Mm. They have been documented, and there is willingness and commitment from the South African government to resolve this. Now, the issue I don't think is that we're targeting our neighbors. The issue is what we're facing. How do we make sure that we channel management of people coming into the country? It's easier when people come through the three ports of entries, the airports of entries international, that is OR Tambo, Kinshasa, and Cape Town International.
But doesn't that certify what I'm saying? The fact that, yes, in those avenues, because it's well managed, but now we're using COVID-19 to actually say, well, these areas that we can't manage ourselves, we're going to actually use COVID-19 as an excuse not to actually deal with the problems within these particular borders.
Allow me to reply in this way.
Sure.
Zimbabwe has closed their borders. Now, which new traveler, in exception of those that are listed in Regulation 42, subsection 2C, would come in from Zimbabwe into South Africa? Mm. Same applies to Botswana. Same applies to Lesotho. Same applies to Swaziland. Mm. So nobody's going to come because from their home countries, they are barred from leaving the country. So if you are saying they are being targeted, I think it's misplaced.
Mm.
I think it's misplaced. Mm. And already there's bilateral discussions, according to the chairperson of the Portfolio Committee on Home Affairs, Advocate Bongo, that there is engagement.
Mm.
So it is not something that one would say it is negatively intended at targeting a Zimbabwean or a person from Mozambique, etc.
Mm. I hear that it's sure.
As a follow-up, let us be mindful of every right goes with a responsibility. You can't at all times claim humanitarian crisis when people want to come into South Africa illegally. That cannot be a humanitarian issue, unless you are saying a person is a refugee. But an economic migrant, you are talking a different ballgame.
All right, Wayne, what are your thoughts on that? Because Gershon is definitely questioning your humanitarian argument in this conversation.
Yes, okay. So I think I'll start on 2 points. And just to echo what you're saying, in that, you know, like this idea that we manage O.R. Tambo and Cape Town and these international ports where we get international mainly outside of Africa travel and treat them better than our local African travelers. That in itself is a bit of a travesty. And, you know, it's something that some old ministers of foreign affairs have highlighted and highlighted a need to address, and not to give one standard of service to Europeans, Americans, outside of Africa travel, and yet give a different level of standards or the way we treat our African brothers. And so that in itself needs, there is a contradiction that we see with this implementation. Now, there is a need to ensure that we manage those borders properly. Simply shutting them down does not help. And then on the issue of irregular migration, as was pointed out, we obviously do not want irregular migration. We want to ensure that migration happens in a way in which the country is able to monitor, track, and we want to ensure that people are not illegal in the country. But that in itself is a contradictory point to say, no, we don't want a humanitarian crisis, and at the same time, we don't want illegal migration, but then you stop all means of legal migration for people who are constantly crossing in and out of nations in and around the whole of Southern Africa. So you cannot want irregular migration, but make regular migration impossible. And that's where the crisis then arises, right? Where you have a situation where for over 300 years, migration has happened regardless of what we do. The borders are there to ensure that migration is managed. We know who's coming in and out of the country. Simply closing it doesn't mean that migration will stop. So you can't just wish that there won't be illegal migration. But if you stop, close the borders, that is what you'll end up creating a lot of people going towards. And so the way to ensure that you have regular migration, you have well-controlled borders, you ensure that those services are up to the standards that you'll see at airports, and you ensure that those borders remain open. And that way we'll always know who comes in. We'll be able to ensure that people who shouldn't be in don't come in, and we'll ensure that there's a level of fairness for all travelers.
But Wayne, you know, Gershon had a point that we could appreciate in this conversation. The fact that he highlighted that as a country, we can't prioritize economic migration, especially if someone is coming into South Africa for the first time without any certification that they have a job in South Africa. And that creates this idea that when, you know, in South Africa, this is where just people can come in and out as they please. And he highlighted the fact that, you know, validly so, we are in a pandemic situation right now, and the environment is completely different. And it's something very sensitive that we should actually see, not just as technocrats and government departments, but also as citizens in our various neighboring countries.
So, I mean, that point obviously is valid. You do want to ensure that you don't have too much cross-border movement during a time of a pandemic. However, the subtle difference that I'll say is with SADC countries, most of the SADC countries allow for cross-border migration for a certain period for their citizens in a way that, so if you're coming from America, you need a permit before you arrive in the country. Southern African countries, you don't need a permit when you go into Mozambique, when you go into Zimbabwe. Same thing for those countries. You don't need a permit when you come here. It facilitates the regular travel that happens. And so when we say people are arriving for the first time, no, people travel regularly in and out of these borders and in and out of these countries anyway, right?
as part of their daily lives, some even because of the families that are stuck in between these old colonial borders. So it's not that simple. It is a point that is valid and is a point that I take, and we all must make concessions during a pandemic, but it's also not properly categorized, appreciating how what we call wreck bodies, SADC in this instance, migration happens and the requirements that are necessary for, let's say, a Mozambican, Lesotho citizen, Zimbabwean to travel.
Hmm. Kirshen, you want to respond to that?
I've got a concern. I think his good name is?
It's Wayne Ngube.
Wayne Ngube. Hmm. Wayne is using a permanent situation and wants to compare it with an abnormal situation that we have in terms of the pandemic. Yes, the problems that he's raising are well-founded, that our borders, the land borders, have not been managed properly. Hence, the South African government has the border management agency coming in the near future, and hence the willingness to try and change the situation. But now, you have the pandemic.
Mm.
You need to deal with the pandemic. The inherent historical problems of the land borders, it's noted. Now, with the pandemic, the South African government says we're closing borders for regular travelers for 30 days so that we can contain the pandemic. Our neighboring states have closed their borders. Let us deal with our health system. Now, if you so claim human rights as a human being before claiming a right, your responsibility is to say the South African government has closed the borders for 30 days. Let me contribute to humanity and not travel. What am I going to do in South Africa? Because of tourism, I can't go and say I'm going on vacation.
Mm.
What am I going to do? If I don't have a general work visa, I'm not there to work. If I don't have a business visa, I'm not there to work. If I have to go and purchase goods, there's trucks that are purchasing goods back and forth. What exactly am I going to do there? My home country has closed the border. What am I going to do there? What is my contribution as a human being in this pandemic?
Hmm. I need to take a quick break because both of you are coming with very amazing viewpoints from different worlds, and it seems like they're both valid and we must come to some form of middle ground. But I'm enjoying this differing views rather that are coming from both of our guests today, and we all must learn from differing views because that's how we create a better world. But let's look at the bilateral relationships between these border control issues, because sometimes that's the crux of the matter and where we get things wrong. But we'll do that after our break. If you're just joining us now, we're speaking about the decision by the South African government to close 20 land border posts. And this has actually created a lot of misunderstandings, a lot of differing views from society. We're joined by Wayne Ngube, a lawyers for human rights representative and CEO of Musiane Group. Kirshen Musiane is with us. Let's take a quick break. It's 24 minutes before midday, and we'll be back after this.
Across the globe, every second, there's always a breaking story.
What we want to achieve is a healthy and vibrant economy which can ensure full employment to our people.
The government concurs with the views of the Black Economic Empowerment Council report that it is now necessary to make our policies on Black Economic Empowerment more explicit.
Last May, I asked constituencies at NEDLAC to discuss youth employment incentives. I'm pleased that discussions have been concluded and that agreement has been reached on key principles.
We are on an ambitious drive to industrialize, to attract investment, and to create more jobs for the youth of our country. They don't have jobs.
Health tried looking for a job for a year and a half now. The challenges were experience and the level of education which I have.
Channel Africa.
For your latest update on the novel coronavirus or COVID-19, for Channel Africa, I'm Arthur Scopo in Lusaka, Zambia. If you develop fever, cough, and difficulty breathing, seek medical advice promptly, as this may be due to a respiratory infection or other serious condition.
Well, you are listening to Channel Africa with me, Benjamin Mushatama. This is African Dialogue. We're about to wrap up our conversation with Gershon Musiane, who is an immigration expert, and Wayne Ncube, who is a litigation and human rights expert from Lawyers for Human Rights. You know, it's the first time in a very long time in a discussion where I'm actually on both sides, and I'm kind of leaning towards both of you at this particular point as we speak. But I think, Gershon, you changed my mind on certain aspects of things before I went into this particular discussion. And Wayne, I stand with you as well when it comes to some of the sentiments that you've made around issues of humanitarianism and human rights. Let's see on consolidation and consolidating these different thoughts, because we live in a very polarized world, and I think consolidation is something that's undermined. And I think maybe this is a time for us to try consolidate these different thoughts coming from both of our guests. Wayne, moving forward, because we still do have issues to deal with in terms of these infrastructural deficits that come with our land borders and or posts. What do you think needs to be done, especially from a bilateral point of view, in smoothing things out? Because we are learning a lot from COVID-19 in terms of the mishaps that we are seeing currently.
Yes, so I think one of the most important things is, in as much as we're going to shut down borders for the next 30 days, and you know, you can say it's because we have this crisis at the borders and we don't know how to manage them. These 30 days should not just be used to then go back to the status quo beforehand to say that we'll ensure that there's this perpetual crisis that will always be there, so that whenever something happens, we can just take the easy way out. What needs to happen is looking at how we can better capacitate those border controls, how we can ensure that there are officials that can help facilitate smoother travel. And even if it is, I'm not an expert in terms of how you'd do that, whether it's in Beitbridge or the Lesotho border or the Mozambique border. In terms of bilateral discussions, it becomes a bit trickier. There are what we call mixed migration dialogues that happen at the SADC Secretariat, which are looking at migration more generally in the SADC region, and the discussions about having a system that mirrors what happens in West Africa. I think that probably is a discussion that will require 2 hours and is even more controversial. But those discussions need to happen to see how it can facilitate smoother travel within our Southern African countries, which will have economic benefits and which will also ensure that we're better able to manage legal and illegal migration within the country. As for now, in terms of bilateral discussions, I think what is important is discussions around the vaccine and how that vaccine has to be made available to the whole of the African continent, certainly the whole of the SADC region, because as long as there's any country in the world that does not come to grips with this pandemic, it will ensure that we never get back to a place where we were before. And part of those bilateral discussions should be about how we all work together to ensure that that vaccine supply becomes available and accessible to everyone, and how we work, whether it's within the BRICS, whether it's within all sorts of other reg body discussions to address that. And unfortunately, I'm not an expert on that, so I can't go further.
Gershon, your thoughts?
I think I tend to agree with Wayne's approach now, whereby he admits that we need to work together to make sure that bilateral talks yield something that is positive, to ensure that there is proper management of the movement of people and goods within SADC and also in procuring the vaccine. So he indirectly agrees with me that it is the responsibility of every human being within the SADC region. Nobody can blame a humanitarian right to economy in South Africa whilst compromising the right to life of South Africans and others.
And in terms of dealing with that issue of border management control, what are your thoughts? Because we need to work on that as a country indeed. A lot of deficits were shown by COVID-19, but we've had this problem for a while. It's just now it was exacerbated by this crisis.
Look, the South African government and Parliament, I think, has passed now the Border Management Agency Bill. I stand to be corrected. Mm. It's at an advanced stage. It has taken long. But I think with COVID and what the Portfolio Committee has seen at Great Bridge, it's going to be fast-tracked. And as you correctly point out, COVID has shown us that we need to act quicker on such issues. And I think we will cross the line the government will implement something that is workable and a win-win situation for both the South African government, the South African public, and our SADC counterparts. And they are coming to the party. I was happy to hear Dr. Motsoaledi, the Honorable Minister of Home Affairs, stating that they will be working with our the Zimbabwean counterparts in Botswana, whereby he was stating that if South Africa processes 10 trucks within an hour, Zimbabwe takes 3 hours to process them. That causes a congestion. But now they're going to have a one-stop border post of some kind whereby goods, trucks, and people will be separated, whereby everything will run smoothly. The congestion will possibly go away, and it looks like a good plan. So let's give it time. Post COVID, it will be implemented. We'll see. It will have teething problems, obviously, like any other new project. But at least it's a step in the right direction, as opposed to ignoring the situation.
Well, what a very dynamic conversation we've heard. I really appreciated this one, especially the fact that you both came from different positions. But different positions don't mean that they are enemies to one another. Sometimes it's all about having that dialogue where we can get to a mainstream idea. But thank you to Wayne Ncube from Lawyers for Human Rights and from the Musiane Group. Thanks to Gershon Musiane for giving us the time. We really appreciate you guys here on African Dialogue.
Thank you. Thank you.
African Dialogue, looking at different events in depth, discussing a variety of issues.
What we see here is a clear violation of one, the rights to privacy of Tiwonge and Stephen.
The position of Greenpeace is that it's been a disappointing meeting.